This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. By day, he works at IBM in the Research Triangle, but every Saturday evening, he becomes the funk host extraordinaire, and he is none other than Howard Burchett. Howard hosts The Funk Show on WNCU every Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. It's a mix of groovy beats and interviews with some of the greats in the genre. Brings listeners into the world where the funk never ends. Howard's with us now to share some of the stories that he's collected over the years and some music. Howard Burchett, welcome to the State of Things. So good to talk to you.
Good talk to you too, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on the air here. And let's talk about some of, because I think, I'm not sure if everybody understands how North Carolina is in many ways ground zero. I mean, it is a place where funk, it wasn't born, but certainly great funk legends and have come out of North Carolina. Talk about some of the greats.
Thanks. Yeah, we have a lot of great people that have come out of North Carolina. And when most people think about R&B, and soul music, they think about Detroit and maybe Memphis, Tennessee. But here in North Carolina, in Durham specifically, we had the great Clyde McFatter. Clyde McFatter was born in Durham. He was the founder of the Drifters, and he had a solo career, a great solo career. He also was the lead singer of Billy Ward and the Dominoes. And Clyde was replaced in Billy Ward and the Dominoes by Jackie Wilson. Now, we had a gentleman that from Henderson, his name was Benjamin Earl Nelson, who replaced Clyde McFatter in the Drifters. I had this gentleman on my show. I'm going to tell you his stage name in a minute. He was born in Henderson. His family moved to Harlem, and they opened a soul food restaurant. And as a teenager, he went to the world-famous Apollo Theater and won amateur night and got a recording contract with the Drifters. He told me when he went to the Drifters, they told him, you got to pick a stage name. So he ended up picking the name of a gentleman from Henderson by the last name of King. And that's the great Ben E. King, who was born in Henderson. And Ben E. King with the Drifters sang There Goes My Baby,
mm-hmm.
Save the Last Dance for Me, Spanish Harlem was his solo recording, as well as Stand By Me. Another great group, a great act out of Greensboro, was Inez and Charlie Fox. They had the great tune Mockingbird. And the guitarist who was not credited, I had her on my show too, who was not credited on the album, was Barbara Roy from Kinston. She played the guitar, and she founded a group in the 70s called Ecstasy, Passion, and Pain, which was recorded in Sigma Sound Studios in Philly. And the great MFSB backed them up. Also in Henderson, we had Shirley Austin Reeves, the great voice of the Shirelles, with Tonight's the Night, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, Mama Said, Gerald Austin, who became the lead, and still is today, the lead singer of the Manhattans. Everybody knows George Clinton. He's from Kannapolis. And Clinton founded, of course, Parliament Funkadelic. And that's a whole story within itself. Roberta Flack from North Carolina. Maceo and Melvin Parker are from Kinston. They went to A&T. Nathaniel Nate Jones, who was the band leader for James Brown before the Parker Brothers, was a graduate of North Carolina Central. Sam Lathan, who lives in Wilson today, was the drummer with James Brown. He's on the classic James Brown album, James Brown Live at the Apollo, Volume 1, which is one of the greatest R&B live albums in history. Also, Levi Raspberry was from Kinston. He was a trombonist. And we've got a gentleman in Chapel Hill right now. We call him Bubba, but his name is Thomas Norwood. And many of your listeners may have seen him play in the Triangle area. But at the age of 17, Thomas went on tour with Ike and Tina Turner. Hmm. And from Ike and Tina Turner, he played with Albert King, the Friends of Distinction. And in 1970, Thomas told me he played with the Monkees. They played at Thornton Arena.
He may have been the only one playing with the Monkees because the Monkees weren't playing. And no, they did. By then they were playing. But they were the Wrecking Crew when they were on records, as you know. It's an amazing story, and you got to wonder what's in the water in Kinston, not to mention all of Eastern North Carolina. I'm not sure there's any money to be made in this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because you talked about some great R&B stars, and the catalog is huge. Is there a way to make it as distinction between funk and how it's not, you know, what part it plays in R&B, or should I just not even ask that?
Well, no, you can ask. A lot of people, it's just a hard question to answer, but I can give you my opinion.
I'll take
my
it.
Opinion, the funk is R&B. R&B is soul, and they're all the same thing. My opinion, all of these different musics are just different branches of the tree that African Americans have created, from gospel, the blues, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, which is soul music, and the funk. Now, if you ask, I think, six people, what is the definition of funk, they'll probably give you six different answers.
Right.
But, you know, it's the way that I saw it when I was growing up. And my definition of it was James Brown was doing his thing in the late 60s. Otis Redding and Stax were doing their thing during that time. On the West Coast, Charles Wright and the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band were doing their thing. But something happened in 1970. Jimi Hendrix died. And what I saw, what I witnessed after Hendrix's death, all of these groups started imitating Jimi Hendrix.
Hmm.
That's when Sly and the Family Stone were doing their thing, the Chambers Brothers. And that's how I saw the funk come together back during that time.
Well, you know, you mentioned Jimi Hendrix, and we were talking about North Carolina greats and natives. That brings us to who you call the high priestess of funk, Betty Davis. Tell us about her.
Oh, man. Thank you for mentioning her name. Betty Davis, for your listeners' sake, she was born in Durham, and she has a lot of history. I think her family moved to, Pittsburgh when she was young, and she became a model. But Betty Davis was in the circle of Jimi Hendrix. She was in the circle of Sly and the Family Stone. She was in the circle of the Chambers Brothers, and she actually, the Chambers Brothers actually recorded one of her tunes called Uptown. And then she recorded her first album. Well, before she recorded her first album, she went by her maiden name, Betty Mabry, which was a series of 45s on Columbia Records. But her debut album was in 1973. It was produced by Greg Errico, who was the original drummer for Sly and the Family Stone. I had Greg on my show, and he told me the whole story. So what Greg did, when he was hired to produce her album on Just Sunshine Records, he said, I brought in all of my friends. And here's a listing of his friends, the members of Sly and the Family Stone, members of Santana, Larry Graham's new group at the time, Graham Central Station, and the background vocals were done by the Pointer Sisters. And that was the debut of Betty Davis. I call her the high priestess of funk because she was out there on her own. She wasn't really played highly on black radio back during that time because her style of music wasn't like Motown. It wasn't like, it wasn't dance music. It was pure funk. It was more like the original Funkadelic. And she only recorded three albums, but she was born in North Carolina. Also, I want your listeners to know, Betty Davis was married to Miles Davis. And she influenced Miles Davis to change his style of music.
Wow.
That's very important.
And she was
Miles
influenced.
Davis,
I want to hear that, but I'm going to play a little bit of her music right now to talk about also what I hear is the influence, because you said she was also in the circle of Jimi Hendrix. Let's listen to a little bit of her song, F-U-N-K.
To the music, and I sang a simple song.
That's a little bit of FUNK from North Carolina native Betty Davis. You can hear songs like that and more every Saturday from 4 to 7 on The Funk Show with Howard Burchette on WNCU. He's my guest now. I'd love to hear all of that song, but I know you've got some stories I got to get to. But that's incredible, right? I mean, that is a sound that really is unfamiliar in all of those. It's terribly familiar, and yet it doesn't fit any of those niches, right? Rock and roll, psychedelic rock, soul, funk. It's got all of it, everything, right?
That's right. You know, Betty Davis, in my opinion, was sort of a cult figure. I'll tell you how I was first introduced to Betty Davis. I never heard her music on the radio, you know, where I lived, so she wasn't played at all. But even as a kid, I was a record collector. I spent a lot of my time going through record stores and flipping through albums, and I came across this album. It actually was the second album by Betty Davis called They Say I'm Different. And to look at her and with the attire that she had on, I really didn't have to listen to the music. I said, I have to have this. And I brought it home and listened to it, and it's the type of music that you just heard.
Yeah.
You know, she was just totally different.
Well, listen, I've got to get to this story, and I have very little time to tell it, but it's something that you discovered about the discovery of James Brown, which you found out through an interview on your show, and I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to tell it.
Okay. That's not a lot of time, but actually, what you're talking about is an interview that I had with the great Bobby Byrd, and I was introduced to Bobby Byrd from another James Brown disciple called Richard Cush Griffith, And before I've interviewed any of these guys, I already knew their history, but they didn't know it. But Cush introduced me to Bobby Byrd, who I knew was very important in the James Brown world. And Cush called me with a three-way call. He said, Howard, this is Byrd. I want you to interview him. And I said, oh, okay. And Mr. Byrd gave me his number. I called him on the day that I was supposed to call him. And when I called him up, he answered the phone to do the interview now. And he gave me a lecture. He said, Burchette, Cush said you're a pretty good fella. I don't do interviews anymore. I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't interview anybody to give interviews to anybody because everybody wants to make money off of me. They want to write a book. They want to do a movie. They want to talk about James. I'm going to write my own book. I said, yes, sir. And then he said, but Cush said you're a pretty good fella, so I'm going to tell you my story. Well, Mr. Byrd came from a musical family in Georgia. His mother, his father, and his sisters were all in a gospel group. And as a teenager in the 50s, he had his own group called they did two styles of music. They did gospel as the Gospel Starlighters, and he told me if they had a rock and roll gig, they'd call themselves the Famous Flames. And he had a manager who was a white gentleman. And the manager had three acts. He had the Famous Flames, who were just teenage boys, and he had two other acts, and all three acts would travel around with this guy, and he would get them gigs. Mr. Byrd told me none of them had a record yet, but here are the other two acts that the man had, Otis Redding and Little Richard. And those three acts were a package. Well, they had a gig at a boys' reform school in Georgia, and he told me that they went there on Friday, they were going to do a show on Saturday, and then they were supposed to play a baseball game at the prison on Sunday, and they would leave on Sunday, and they slept there. But the whole time that they were in prison, at the prison, all of the kids would say, there's a guy just like you here, it's a kid that's just like you. We call him Music Box. He can dance. He can play all instruments. But Mr. Byrd told me that they never saw Music Box because he was out on road detail. So on Sunday, right before they got ready to leave, they played this baseball game with the other inmates there. And Mr. Byrd was on third base, I believe. This young guy was on at bat. He hit the ball, ran around the bases, ran into Mr. Byrd. They knocked him down. They both talked to each other. And he said, hey, fella, you're a pretty good athlete. And the young guy said, yeah, I am. I'm a boxer, too, you know. He said, okay. And the young guy said, you know, I can sing and I can dance kind of like you guys. And the young guy, he asked the young man, what was his name? He said, well, they call me Music Box. but my name is James Brown. And then James Brown said, listen, Bird, they have a rule here at this prison. If your parents can sign me out, I can go home with you. So Bobby Bird told me that he went home and spoke to his mother and father. They were still teenagers, maybe 15 or something like that. And they signed James Brown out. James Brown and he slept in the same bed. He literally became his brother. They incorporated James Brown into their family group, the Gospel Starlighters. And they taught James Brown how to play the drums. He was the original drummer. And then James Brown became the drummer in his group, the Famous Flames. And they got a recording contract at King Records, which was Please, Please, Please. And they had James Brown sing lead on that one. And the rest is history.
That is it.
But Howard, it was Bobby Bird that started that whole thing off.
And you got the story and told it. Beautiful. Howard Burchett, the host of the Funky Show, the Funk Show, I should say, every Saturday from 4 to 7 on WNCU in Durham. And thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Frank.
We got to have you back. There's lots more stories. State of Things produced by Anita Rao, Amanda Magnus, Grant Hall of Mormon, Kaya Finlay, and Stacia Brown. Jenny Lawson, our technical director. Al Wodarski also helped engineer today's show. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia. Let's take a listen to the song that launched James Brown's career, Please, Please, Please.
Please, 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 please. I just want to hear say I